So, Father, we just we thank you for another just time to come together in one accord and to share what's been on our hearts, what you've been showing us, to share praises and to pray for each other. And we just thank you for this body of believers that just come together just to honor you and to edify each other. And we just thank you for this tool that we can use to just fellowship with, you know, people throughout the United States and outside, you know, even Africa, which is awesome, and Canada. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just ask you to bless this night and just guide us, just allow us to be, just glorify you and put on our hearts as far as what you want us to talk tonight. Let us edify you and each other and bless each other. And we just thank you for that. We just bind the enemy from, you know, bringing any issues in the equipment or any distractions. And we just thank you for a blessed night in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's, does anybody have any prayer requests or need prayer or want to pray for somebody? Well, I'm going to just start off, I'm going to pray, Sandy Shaw just, found out that, she was having a hard time breathing and was taken in. So Father, we just lift up Sandy right now, Lord, and we just rebuke this infirmity that's trying to attack her lungs, that's trying to attack her body. We just forbid it in the name of Jesus. We just come against this obstruction in her lungs. We command those lungs to open up in the name of Jesus. Any fluid or anything that's in her lungs to go in the name of Jesus, that it would be drained, that her breathing will be freely, that there'll be no issues. We just come against the cough. We come against any pneumonia. And we just forbid it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask you, give Jeff rest, just allow him to get into the peace, your peace, and get his eyes on you and just know that this is already taken care of. And we just thank you for working in him. I bind up any fear. I bind up any bad reports or anything that would come from the medical staff. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've already taken care of Sandy, and this infirmity is gone in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, Michael, do we need to pray for your cough?
No.
That was right on cue.
I know. I'm sorry.
So Father, I just want to come against. There's a lot of infirmities going around, a lot of coughs, a lot of, you know, if it's what they're spraying in the air or whatever's going on, we just come against these attacks. We come against these infirmities. We come against these any sickness that's on any of the brethren. We just forbid it. We just rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, all right. Anybody else need prayer or like to pray or have anybody on their heart? Aaron Tweedy, are you able to talk tonight? Or are you just listening in?
Well, hello.
Welcome. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Missed you guys.
I missed you.
I'll appreciate that.
So you off work tonight?
I'm off work tonight.
Well, that's awesome.
Few hours.
So you got a whole bunch of stuff to share with us about what the Lord's been doing, right?
You know, I'm sure I do, but I'm just going to wait on the Lord and just have him kind of bring things to my remembrance. And he's kind of been sharing throughout the week.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here. I do have a couple of words that the Lord gave me. I might share in a couple of minutes here, so if that sounds good.
Okay. Well, let's just get through and see if anybody else needs prayer or wants to. Let's get through the prayer right now. So so let's just, anybody else have anybody on their heart or need prayer? Or
I'd like to pray for my, used to be my pastor for a short while. His doctrine I can't agree with. He considers himself an apostle, but he has held out and prayed for people's sicknesses and believed for his own health, but his liver has gone out so bad that he had to check himself into the hospital. I just wanted to pray for him and lift him up. His name is Guy Walton, and I just pray that God would use him and heal him, Lord, and bring him to the truth. He has an orphanage in Kenya, and he started one in Mexico too. But I'm just praying for him for his wife's sake and for his sake that God would heal his liver in Jesus' name.
Amen. So, Father, we just put our faith together with Wade for this pastor, Lord, and Lord, we just ask that you just use this time. If there's some areas that he is not lined up with your word, where he's walking in apostasy, where he's deceived. We just ask, Lord, that you use this time while he's laid out to speak to him, to show him truth, to open up his spiritual eyes. And Father, right now we just bind up any religious spirits, any pride, any arrogance, anything that's on this man that is unpleasing to you. We just ask you just reveal it, Lord, and Father, bring him into the fullness of your truth, Lord. Just put him in a situation where, you know, he just cries out to you, and you just, reveal yourself in a dream or in a vision, or show up in his room, Lord. And Father, set him straight, Lord. If he's being chastened because of what is in him, Lord, we just ask that you just reveal it to him and allow him to just grant him just a spirit of repentance to change his mind, to change his ways, and to run after you, to run after truth, Lord. So, Father, we just ask your grace and mercy over this man, and we just ask that you just bring him into the fullness and heal his liver. And we just put our faith together for that in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your mercy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Yes. My husband, Jeff, is requesting prayer. He came home early from work today with a fever and headache and cough and just isn't feeling good.
All those lying symptoms again, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to pray for him, or you want us to pray for him?
I would like you to pray, if that's okay.
That's fine. All right, so everybody, let's put our faith together for Jeff, and let's just use our imagination, just see him healed. And so, Father, right now, we just come together, and we just stand in faith for Jeff, and we just come against the enemy right now, and we just rebuke this fever. We command that fever to loose him now and to go in the name of Jesus. You're forbidden to manifest in him. We come against any cough or any aches and pains or any sickness in his body, any infirmities. We just rebuke those infirmities. We rebuke those symptoms off him now in the name of Jesus. And we call Jeff healed, that he was already healed. Your word says by your stripes that he was healed. And your word says that when two or more come together and agree, that it is done. And we believe that it is done. And we just stand on that promise right now, and we call it done in Jesus' name. We just thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Thanks, Terry.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Who else needs prayer or wants to pray for somebody? Or
yes, Lord, I want to pray this weather out of here.
Okay.
You know, the Lord has given us authority over even the elements.
I agree.
So we can pray for it. So let's all put our faith together. In the name of Jesus right now, we command this bad weather to leave this valley in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to see sunshine tomorrow all day. And it's going to warm up and get rid of all of this ice and stuff. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yeah, I'll share a little bit of a testimony. We lost our power for about 4 days, and I had a situation with we've got an electric hot water tank, and I was actually able to run it off the generator. But what would happen is it had a control board on it. When I hooked it up to the generator, it would not bring on the hot water tank. So I had to rewire it and kind of wire around the control board and just to get hot water. So we did that for 4 days. And then once we got the power back, I went to hook it all back up to the power, and it wouldn't stay on. It would click on for a minute or two and then click off. And so it kept going, going like that. So I was kind of wiring around it just to get hot water. And I downloaded a manual on it so I can troubleshoot it. And so we've been going since, I don't know when we got our power back on last Friday, but I've been doing that, just kind of going down there and resetting it and getting the water heated up. And, so this has gone on for 5 or 6 days. And finally, I went down there with this manual. I checked everything out and ohmed out all the sensors and everything on it, and everything checks out perfectly. So it says that if everything checks out, to order a new control board. So when I was down there earlier, I had wired it to get hot water, and I just laid hands on it and committed it to work. And I left, walked away, and I came back 3 or 4 hours later, and I hooked the wires back up, and I turned the breaker on, and the thing came on, stayed on, and was working perfectly. So I waited maybe 5 or 6 days before I prayed, and was in total works, running back and forth, wiring this thing and hitting the reset, and just to get hot water. So I've been doing that, and it took me 5 days to pray. So when I prayed, the Lord took care of it. So I thought, so I give him the glory. I just wish I would have prayed earlier. So sometimes we get into works, or we got our mind, our carnal thinking, it's like we're going to figure this out or whatever it is, and we don't turn to prayer. So it was awesome. I prayed, went away, got rest, came back, hooked everything up, flipped it on. It was running fine. So it was kind of, I tried that 4 or 5 times, but I didn't pray over it, and it wouldn't stay on. And this time it stayed on. So I give the Lord the glory. Amen. So does anybody have any other praise reports? Anything you want to brag on the Lord about?
Yeah, I do. He kept me and David out of the ditch today and yesterday. That was awesome. Y'all heard our testimony about our miracle that happened to us last winter. I think it was last winter. Yeah, last winter, when we slid down the hill here. Went through a car. And, yesterday I went, it started snowing. I told David, I said, I better go ahead and go to the store and get us some milk and, that kind of stuff. And I got over there to that hill, and I had flashbacks of sliding down that thing again. But it wasn't that bad. But I knew if I'd gone to the store, and by the time that I got back, I'd have a hard time, even though I got a four-wheel drive, getting up that hill, because it's a very steep hill, and it's on a curve. And so I turned around on the top of that hill and went back to our hill, and got up about, within about 200 feet of the house. And I got stuck. It just started sliding. It started slipping. real bad, and I couldn't go any further forward. So I chalked it, and David and I got out there this morning after sun came up a little, or not the sun, but it got daylight. Took our tractor and went down there and cleaned that road off. Praise God, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with the truck. It's just, I was just sitting there waiting on us to come get it. But anyway, the Lord protected us. He protected the truck. You know, that's one of the things that we do before we take off when it's bad weather. We always pray that the Lord would protect our truck and us, and that we wouldn't get a dent on it there and back. And He's always done that for us. He's always protected us. We've had a lot of close calls, but close calls are okay. They don't hurt. But the Lord has protected us because of that. We always, always pray before we take off. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Trish and I do the same thing. Is whenever we leave the property, we pray over the property. We pray safety over the, you know, we've got chickens and a dog, and, you know, we pray over them and put a hedge of protection around the property. We put a hedge of protection around us that, you know, we'll bring no harm to any others. No harm will come to us, and just protect us. And we just got in, you know, the habit of doing that. And it's, you know, we just try to put the Lord in charge all the time. You know, we've got these angels. We got these angels at our request, and half the time we don't even call on them. You know,
well, it's kind of like this morning. We left and got down to the grocery store, and David said, "Did you close the garage door? I've got, you know, one of those remotes out there in the truck." And I said, "No, I don't think I did, but I locked the back door." He said, "Well, that's something, I guess." But anyway, we prayed, and of course, we didn't have any. Nobody got in there. You know, you got to be wanting to come up there anyway to get in that house.
Amen. Yeah, I went over to Paul and Kiana's. They had called me, and Paul was, had, you know, said he got stuck in the ditch. And so I went by, and I thought it was going to be out in front of their house, and here was on the road on the way to their house. And I mean, it was almost side, you know, on its side. It was in about a 2 foot deep ditch. And I looked at it, and I thought, there's no way, because I figured it was sitting on the frame. So I said, "Lord, you're going to have to help us." And so I ended up getting Paul. We came down, and it was on a hill going up, and it was covered with snow and ice. And I've got a four-wheel drive, but I hooked up, and as soon as the chain got taut, I started slipping. And and you know, I just kind of goosed it a little bit, and he wasn't going anywhere. And I heard him, you know, burning. I could smell the rubber burning. He was spinning the wheels. And so I just got out. I was like, "Lord, we need some wisdom." And I looked, and Paul had his wheel turned. And I said, "Hey, Paul, straighten out your wheel." Got back in my truck and tried it one more time. And next thing you know, he popped out of the ditch. And I got him up on the road. And we unhooked the chain, and he started to back down the hill and started sliding right back into the ditch. So I had to hook the chain up to him and pull him back up, and then slowly, you know, let him down the hill. But it was awesome. I really didn't think I was going to be able to get him out, but the Lord provided, so it was kind of awesome. So
was it the road in front of his house, or was it a drive?
The road going up that little hill before you get to his house.
Yeah.
On the left-hand side, the ditch is just a, you know, just a little ditch, but on the right-hand side, you know, it's really deep. So, yeah. But that was the second time he ended up in that ditch. So.
Why didn't he stay out of it?
But, He's going to have to learn how to drive up that hill, I guess. So.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Who else has got a testimony? Want to brag on the Lord?
Well, Tim, I can give that testimony now if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Amber.
All right. Well, this is Amber, for those of you who don't know me, here in Tennessee. And the Lord had been showing me that I had a false idol. It was an idol, and it was a false god. It was it wasn't anything that I was in my head, you know, I knew it wasn't right, but in my heart I couldn't get rid of it. The idea that God was a harsh God, that he did things for my own good, kind of in a harsh way, kind of learning your lesson. And it affected my healings. It seemed like I felt like I needed to suffer. I couldn't receive a healing until I'd suffered enough. Like, you know, learn my lesson. Whatever that lesson was, I needed to suffer for it. And that then I'd get the revelation and I'd understand what God was showing me and I could be healed. And he was showing me that that wasn't what, you know, that he wasn't like that and that it was a false god and he wasn't pleased with that. And I had prayer and I really tried to, you know, I said, Lord, I don't want this. I know you're not like that. I know you're compassionate. And I was really struggling with it. And at the same time, the Lord has been giving me songs to kind of teach me some things about himself. And prior to this, the Lord, one day I heard this song. It's the Lord is gracious and compassionate. And I'd been singing, hearing the song in my head all day. And I go into the local, you know, to our Bible study, and a friend of mine, Pam, she said, you know, I just had this tune in my head all day. And she starts singing the same song, and I, you know, finish it. And she remarks that it's from Psalm 103, and that's the song that is taken from that song, from Psalm 103. And so I really knew the Lord was talking to me, but I didn't know what he was saying. And over the course of the week, that song continued every day, you know, to play in my head. And I'd read the Psalms, I think, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And I kept thinking, you know, Lord, I know you're gracious and compassionate. I understand. And I didn't feel like he was just giving me any revelation. I felt like he was just telling me something I already knew, that he was good. And he forgot my sin. And that, you know, as far as east is from the west, that's how far transgressions are removed from him. And so I really felt, you know, like, I don't know what you're trying to say. And then one day, somehow it just clicked, and I realized that the Lord was talking to me about that idol, that he was saying, I'm not that harsh God. I am gracious and compassionate. And so I really started just meditating on that. You know, just when I was having trials, that no, he's gracious. He's not like that. He's compassionate. But I was still having a really hard time. I still couldn't, you know, that was a key, but I really couldn't get rid of it until I was praying to the Lord about this, and I just was like, Lord, I don't want this, you know, I don't want this, but I need you to take it from me. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm sure the Lord revealed it to me, but I said, well, wait a minute, this is a sin. This having a false idol is a sin, and it's not a willful sin. I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm trying not to do it. And so this sin's covered by the blood of Jesus. And I was so excited. I was like, if it's covered by the blood of Jesus, then I can still have my healings. Even if I have this idol, I can still have it because the Lord is covered. This sin is covered by God. And I was just so excited. I really just got what the Lord was telling me. And it's like at that moment, when I realized that I could have my healings, I could have them today, I didn't have to wait, it's like I was delivered of that idol. And I've just been excited that my healings are now, that I don't have to wait, you know, for suffering. I don't have to wait for time to go by. I'm, you know, and it's just been, I've had more peace. I've had more peace in waiting through the trial. There's no fear anymore. So I just praise the Lord for putting up with me. You know, it took me a long time to really get that through my head, but I just praise him because he is gracious and compassionate and long-suffering for sure. So
So praise his name.
Awesome. That's an awesome testimony. Yeah, I remember when I was, I used to think that the Lord was a disciplinarian, and that he was just setting me up to take, you know, to discipline me. And I was having a hard time getting free of the sin nature, and I didn't want to sin, and I, you know, it wasn't willful, but I was just, you know, I felt like I was condemned. And I was in a place where I saw God, and, you know, the Father is just in a whole different light. And I think part of it was my natural father was a disciplinarian. I mean, he was ex-military, and, you know, he had, you know, it's his way or the highway, or, you know, and he would set the rules and, you know, don't step out of bounds. And you know, and I think that was part of it. And that's just how I saw, my father, you know, my spiritual father. And I was caught up in that for a while. And I didn't feel called. I didn't think I would be chosen. I thought I was just going through the act. And I was just going to end up being reprobated or being chastened or end up in hell anyways, was kind of, you know, I remember how I felt for a while. Because I wanted to, you know, I had an issue with anger. I had, you know, a lot of different things going on. I would get, you know, frustrated with my wife and Trish, and I didn't ever, you know, it wasn't my heart to hurt her or get upset with her. I just, you know, it was just the stuff that was in me. And I would just, I was constantly in condemnation. And then one day I listened to, I think it was a teaching of David, talking about sons of God or in servants. And I always saw myself as a servant. I never saw myself as a son. And when I listened to that teaching, I know I really got the revelation that I was an heir. And I was free by faith, because my will was to please God, even though I was failing miserably at the time. And through that teaching and a few things, I was able to see myself as a son and see myself as an heir. And I was, you know, starting to get freed up from that bondage. But when you're believing, you know, you don't have faith. You're in doubt when you're believing that you're just going to be condemned anyways, or you're going to be chastened anyways, or you're just being set up. So that's just a ploy of the enemy, you know, where we get these lies as far as, you know, who the Father is, and you know, we just start believing those lies, and then there's no faith there, and we're being tossed to and fro, because, you know, we don't have that faith. We're in doubt. We're, you know, don't have the truth. But when we get the truth sets us free. So thanks for sharing that, Amber. That was really good. All right. Anybody else have a thought on that or a testimony you'd like to share? Dream, revelation, anything the Lord's been showing you? Everybody's awfully quiet tonight. Well, I can. I've been in a Bible study, and it's repentance, God. Or I think it's called repentance, God's way, or repentance granted, God's way. And I'm really seeing some things that, you know, repentance is changing your mind. And that's, you know, a lot of, you know, I see a lot of kind of new Christians or that, or, you know, even dealing with my son sometimes, and that they think repentance is just saying you're sorry. But really, repentance is, you know, changing your mind. And And we, you know, and what some of the things that, you know, David was talking in this study is that, you know, we think that we convince people to accept the Lord, or, you know, we're trying to convince them to maybe see more of a true doctrine from what they're, you know, they might be Catholic or whatever it is, but, you know, we're trying to get them to see the truth in the Word. But we're kind of in works trying to get, you know, maybe somebody saved or something like that. But he's really talking about that it really doesn't work that way. You know, the Bible says that God grants repentance. And, you know, God is the only one in the Bible that is sovereign. And, you know, the devil isn't sovereign. You know, God is the one that's sovereign. So he's the one that, you know, does grant repentance. And in Ephesians 1:11 says, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And he counsels with us about what he wants, you know, us to do. Or it's his will, it's not our will. And John 3:27 says a man can receive nothing except it has been given him from heaven. And then Proverbs 21 says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the water courses. He turneth it whatsoever he will. So God can turn a person's heart any way he wants to turn it. And basically he did that with us. I mean, if he didn't change our heart, if he didn't change our mind, if he didn't put in us his will, I mean, we wouldn't be where we're at. And it says that, you know, we didn't choose him. And John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And Psalm 65 says, blessed is the man who thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. So really, God causes us to approach him. And before approaching him, typically, we just want to do whatever we want to do. You know, we want to run after our flesh or, you know, whatever our will is. But the Lord, through his mercy and grace, you know, gave us an awesome gift of changing our mind and running after him. So I can see when, you know, if we're trying to convince someone to come to the Lord, we could be in works if the Lord does not grant that person a gift of repentance, you know, a gift to be able to change their mind. And maybe we need to be praying for God's mercy and grace on that person. You know, we can, you know, we need to pray for them. Sometimes we just try to convince somebody, but I'm just seeing where we need to really be praying for God's, you know, grace and mercy on them. You know, we can bind up the principalities and powers that might be hindering them if God is working on their heart. But if God doesn't change their mind and cause a person to be drawn to him, we could be in vain works. But it's really going to be through faith and praying that, and that's what really we've been doing with our family members, is just believing God's promise for household salvation. And that's what we need to do for, you know, if we've got an, you know, unsaved spouse or, you know, unsaved kids or, you know, somebody who's fallen away, we can't be in works, because when we're in works, you know, God isn't going to be there, because, you know, he wants to get the glory. So we need to be on our knees and not in works. And if God's already working on someone's heart, you know, he might put us in their path and we could be used of God as a vessel to, you know, guide somebody into the kingdom. But the Lord's got to really be tugging on, you know, tugging on their heart. And, you know, if we try to convince someone of accepting the Lord or do what they do in the church by using emotions and guilt and feel good messages and all these things that are just fleshly and not spiritually to draw them in, you know, if the emotions can draw somebody in, the emotions are going to draw somebody out. You know, the devil or the world or whatever it is can take them right out. But if the Lord puts conviction in their heart and draws them, then it's more likely that they're going to, you know, come into the kingdom or they're going to be able to bear fruit. And the Gentiles didn't come into the kingdom for, you know, a couple thousand years. And, you know, and why were the Gentiles able to come into the kingdom? It's because the Lord chose them at that time. And in, you know, Acts 11:17, it says, "If then God gave unto them the like gift as he did also unto us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also has God granted repentance unto life." So God's got to grant that repentance so they can, you know, so we can, or they can, you know, walk into that life. So it's got to be, you know, granted by God. And it takes God from the outside to put something in us to cause us to be something that we're not normally, you know. It's, you know, our nature is not to be holy or to be right with the Lord. Our nature is, you know, is typically sinful and evil. But it says God's grace, which is unmerited favor, grants repentance. So whenever we find lack in ourselves or our ability or our, you know, lack in our willpower or anything else, we can go to God and he will take care of it for us. And it is by faith in the Lord, the power and the sovereignty of God to change our mind and our heart and put in us the will we need. So we need to have faith for, let's say, that person that we're praying for. We can speak promises to them, but the Lord needs to give them grace and give them a measure of faith so they can exercise that faith, that they need that faith so the Lord, you know, so they can be, you know, drawn to the Lord, or the Lord can change them, change their minds or change their circumstances. They got to have faith that the Lord can do that, you know, if they're going to stick. And we need to do the same thing when we need the Lord to change us. Because I don't know, there's been times where, you know, I've been stuck in trials or I've been stuck in situations, and we tend to get in works and think that if, you know, we do certain things or whatever it is, that we're going to work through this trial. And sometimes we just need to call out to the Lord and say, "Lord, I can't do it. You need to change me. You need to take this from me. You need to change my mind. You know, you need to grant repentance," and just let him do it. Cause I've been there sometimes where I just, you know, it just, you just seem like you can't get out of a situation or you can't get a breakthrough. And a lot of times it's, I've found that's just, I've been in works and, you know, and he's been able to reveal that to me and help me to, you know, get out of the situation. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it's our faith towards the Lord, you know, asking the Lord to change us instead of us changing ourselves. If we ask him to change us, we'll have victory. If we try to do it ourselves or in our own works, you know, we're gonna fail constantly. And we need to have God confidence and not self-confidence. So if we have faith in ourselves, the Lord's going to allow us to fail just to, you know, teach us a lesson or just to, you know, so we don't get the glory. And but if we get our eyes on him and we understand his sovereignty and we see him in all the situations and turn to him, I mean, he can pull us out of it. But it's got to be through his grace. And Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And that authority is all power. So if we need power, we got to go to Jesus. We got to go, you know, we got to turn to the Lord. And our power comes from God by grace. And in most cases, it's because of our faith. We got to believe that God has delivered us from our sin, from the curse, and that was all done through Jesus. And we got to know, and we got to stand on that promise that we've already been delivered. We've already been set free. And we need to get our strength from God. And he will give us the will. So any place we lack, we can go to him. And he'll be there for us. He gives us grace to will his will. John 8:36 says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And a lot of times we get into works, and I know I've done this, where we're trying to free ourselves. And when you're trying to free yourself, you're going to end up in more bondage. But when the Lord sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But it says in there, the Son shall make you free. I see it, when I read that, I see a condition that says will make you, it shall make you free, because there's an obedience there that we need to be in obedience and running after the Lord to stay free. Because freedom is the ability or the lack of restraint from doing anything you want to do. But in the process of the Lord working in you to will and to do his good pleasure, he's able to put his will in you. So if you want to be free and really want his will, he can put it in you. When God is done putting his will in you, then you get to do whatever you want to do. Because what you want to do is what he wants to do. And nobody stops God from doing what he wants to do. Ephesians 1:11, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. So if you really want to be free, you have to ask God to put his will in you. And when you read the word, you got to repent, meaning change your mind. And if your desire is according to the word, you're going to have your desires, and they will all be good desires because they're going to line up with the word, and they're going to line up with God. But the key there is staying in the word. And when you see areas that he points out when you're in the word, that's when we need to change our mind or repent. and ask him to put his will in us for those areas and not our will. So it's really, I don't know about anybody else, but I can see where there's just times I get into works and get my eyes off the Lord, even with the hot water tank. It was, you know, I was going to troubleshoot it. I was going to figure it out, all that. But when I finally got to a point, I realized I didn't pray for it. I went to the Lord, and I mean, he just came through, and he came through pretty quick. I mean, sometimes he doesn't come through right away. You know, he kind of puts us in a trial of our faith to see if we're going to stand firm or if we're going to waver. And, but he, you know, if we stand firm, he always comes through. And the reason why a lot of us aren't free is because of the war going on between the outer man and the inner man. And both of them want their way. And where Galatians says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that you would do. And so the war is in our flesh against our spirit, and they're totally contrary to each other. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is for a moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. And it says here, light afflictions, but a lot of times those afflictions don't seem light at all. And it says only for a moment, but it seems like they go on forever. But sometimes that's because we're not turning to the Lord, or we're in rebellion or whatever it is, or we're not walking in faith, or we're in doubt, or, you know, there's something in us where we've got unforgiveness or pride or something. But the Lord uses everything to teach us a lesson. Goes on and says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if we get our eyes set on what the Word says about us, the promises about us, that by His stripes we were healed, or whatever the trial is that we're in, and we stay in the Word, and we claim the promises by faith, even though we don't see them manifesting right there at that time, and we confess the Word and what the Word says about us, and we don't get into murmuring and complaining or speaking the curse or get into doubting or whatever the enemy tries to bring on us, you know, God is going to bring it to pass. We just got to stand in faith. And if we can do that, is when the outer man is dying. That's when he is decaying, and Christ that's in us is being renewed, because we're standing in faith, we're standing on the promises of the Word, and that inner man is coming to glory. So God's plan is for the inner man to take over. And this process is, you know, starts with repenting, changing your mind, reading His Word and saying, okay, Lord, You're right and I'm wrong. And I let, you know, Your thoughts be my thoughts. And in Mark 11:22 in the numerics, it says, have God's faith. So if we ask, you know, for God's faith, He'll put His faith in us. And we want God's thoughts to be our thoughts. And if God's thoughts are your thoughts, then you are free, because nobody restrains God's will. So it's just a matter of asking God to grant repentance, have him change your mind, you know, when we're in a struggle or doing something. So, yes?
I'm sorry, I didn't even know that you could hear me.
Oh, that's fine. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm learning is, you know, like, we can confess out of our mouths till we're blue in the face the Word of God, but unless we actually believe what the Word says, it has no effect in our lives. The Bible says we already have the mind of Christ. So if we believe God and we believe what the Word says, God has been teaching me my identity in Christ, because I've had a lot of battles in my life. Trying to build strongholds to the point where I wasn't even recognizing my identity in Christ. And when we start seeing our identity in Christ, some of those battles with the flesh we don't have, and with our mind, you know, like the Bible says that our relationship with the Lord should be simple, and we're free in Christ. And any time that we have to think we need to do a bunch of things in order to succeed and be victorious, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ, and that we're already victorious. And, you know, some of these trials that I'm aware of are to strengthen us and to purify our faith. And the devil will have us thinking that we've got to do all these things in order to maintain victory, and that's not the case. He will do anything to keep us from recognizing what our true identity is in Christ and using that identity, because he's afraid of the body and the identity or the authority that we have, because then we're a threat to him.
Amen.
So he comes up with all these schemes and lies, and this is the major problem in the body right now, is the body don't recognize their authority in Christ, and he's not only got us divided up in different religions, but there's all these man-made doctrines and false doctrines and this doctrine and this theology and that theology. So, like, the body is so focused on knowledge that we're not recognizing our authority and our identity in Christ. And so the simple part of it is just believing, and then walking in the Spirit.
Amen. And that's what it says all through the, you know, especially all through the New Testament. It's all about belief.
Right. And I don't know if you're familiar with the gentleman, and of course, There's a couple of things that I've questioned, because I've noticed a lot of speakers take on theological ideas that are man-made about the Bible and the Word. But his name is Todd White, and God has got him out there talking to the body and building them up in their identity in Christ. And one of the things that struck a chord with me is that he said that we're not just to, you know, confess the Word. We're to actually be the Word, because the Word became flesh, and we have the Word living in us.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that a little interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the Word, you know, because we're supposed to become the Word made flesh. So as we put the Word in us, the Word is Christ. It's, you know, it's His Spirit. But as we put that in, we become that Word made flesh. You know, we're the body of Christ.
Amen.
And but you're right. There's a lot of, you know, theologies out there, a lot of different sects and divisions and all that. And those are all works of the flesh. You know, that's all man. You know, that's all, driven. Yeah, it's all driven by the devil. And he tries to get us into, because that's really what he tries to do, is get us into works and
knowledge.
Right. Knowledge. Get us puffed up. Because a lot of the teachers and pastors and stuff out there are pretty puffed up with pride and stuff like that. But there's a lot of deception out there. But if we can get into works, you know, if you do this and do this, there's no grace. We lose God's grace when we get into works.
Well, I don't think we lose it, but I do think that we move out of it. I don't think we could ever lose God's grace as a gift. And God doesn't take his gifts away because the Bible says his gifts are the calling and the gifts are irrevocable.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely believe we can move out of God's grace when we start moving into all that kind of stuff. Speaking from experience on that one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What I was saying is that we're not going to get the glory. And when we're in works, we're looking for the glory and he's not going to be in it. So he kind of backs off. And that's what I mean by we lose his grace. He kind of steps back, and when we're in our works and trying to earn salvation or earn approval or, you know, whatever, you know, and the church is good at getting us busy and getting us into works and thinking that's, you know, that those are good works. And a lot of times it's not.
That's true. I think if you don't let the Holy Spirit be your teacher like he's supposed to be, because my first year and a half of being a Christian, I've been a Christian 7 years now. I didn't see, like, my first 8 months of being a Christian, I didn't even want to go to church. I didn't want to be around anything near church or even people. All I did was read the Word and pray and talk to God and listen to God. And my first mistake was putting my Bible down and listening to preaching because I got curious about it. And then I started learning about, and where the works come in is we got all these different preachers saying, well, you got to do this and you got to do that, and it's because of this and it's because of that, and they're getting people not only puffed up with knowledge but striving for God's grace and love and getting people caught up in works. And then God started showing me how I was doing that, saying, no, you don't have to do that. I love you. It's a free gift. You know, here's the truth about this, and here's the truth about that. And it started to happen when I said to the Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth.
Amen. Well, let me, because what you'll find is, what is your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Kim.
Is Kim? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to find, you know, a lot of people in, you know, as far as in this ministry and that have been called out of the church. The mm-hmm. Lord is, the Lord has opened their eyes and called them out of the apostate system and called them into the Word. And, you know, David is just it challenges us just in the Word. And he says, don't believe anything he says. Just take it to the Word and have the Lord show you through the Holy Spirit. And let the Lord, you know, open your eyes. So, but I think that, so we, you know, we kind of welcome you and, you know, as far as that. So how did you find UBM?
I was actually, me and my husband have been having experiences with hawks, and I've also been having experiences with seagulls and a lot. And so what I like to do is I'm a research person. I have some dream books with symbols and stuff like that in it, but a lot of that is earthly, carnal wisdom, and not all of it is what God means by certain symbols. So what I did is I went online, I put it in Google, and I came across your ministry on Google, and I went and looked it up. And so I looked through where it was talking about hawks and eagles, and I emailed it to my husband so he can look at it, because I've been seeing in him some giftings, and it's like he's needed constant confirmation on it because he doesn't, you know, feel worthy of the calling. And so it made him cry because it was just, it's like it struck a string chord. And so I joined the email list and asked about, you know, your program here. And Michael Hare sent me an email with the number and a PIN number and let me know the days and times. And usually I'm getting my kids ready for bed around that time. And just for some reason tonight, they went to sleep early.
Amen. Well, Kim, we're glad to have you. And just, whenever you can, you know, just kind of come in. I mean, every night's a little bit different as far as that. Typically, this is just people that have been led to the ministry that are looking for fellowship. We pray for each other. We share testimonies. So if you have prayer requests, you know, we just kind of put our faith together. And I mean, we've seen some awesome answers of prayer, you know, just on this, just through this tool here. And, sometimes, bring forth just, you know, knowledge, dreams. Lord speaks to a lot of us in dreams, and, we'll bring forth dreams or, you know, just revelations, stuff like that. So really, this is because there's a lot of people out there that have come out of the church and are just looking for a place to fellowship. And, that's basically, what this conference is all about. And I don't know if you talked to Michael, but he's in here. And
just briefly in an email.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you as far as that.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I finally got to participate. Go ahead.
I have a couple of thoughts on what she's talking about. You know, our journey when we become a new creature in Christ, our journey is to grow up into Christ Jesus in all things. And we can, you know, we have a journey of 30% fruit, 60% fruit, or 100% fruit. It's a journey. In fact, there's a scripture that says in 1 John 4:17 B, as Jesus is now in his resurrected power, so are we now in this world. And so, you know, we're to become, we're to do everything, we're to grow up into Christ and become the Word so that we can do the job on the earth that's necessary. What really helped me was this. When we can't even get saved unless God gives us his measure of faith. And, you know, when I understood that better, it really gave me relief because it's his faith. You know, we're to have God's faith. And he gives us a measure of his faith for us to be able to say, to come into the kingdom that Jesus into our heart. And so then we grow in the Word, you know, to see who we are, you know. But it's only God's faith that lets anything work. And we can grow up into Christ completely and function in 100% faith, of God's faith, not, you know, and so, like I say, it relieved me because it's his faith. He gave us the measure to start with, and we build on that by studying to show ourselves approved, and it's just a wonderful program that he's designed for the body of Christ. So I just had those thoughts.
Amen. And that's so true, because, I mean, even my wife, Trish, she talks about just how much freedom she received when she realized that faith came from the Lord, because when she was in the church, she was always trying to muster up faith to pray for people or whatever it is, and she's like, you know, just trying to find that faith, and, you know, it was all her. And when she realized that, you know, that she didn't have faith, that it came from the Lord, it was like a total bondage was lifted off.
Yes, know? And what's wonderful is his faith always works. You know, I mean, isn't that wonderful? Like, when you realize it's his faith, you can sure depend on an answer of prayer.
Amen.
Because it's his faith. And it took me a journey to understand that as well. I was trying to work up faith too. And, you know, it just nothing worked. But then when I rested in the Lord and found the truth, it's an easy journey, because we're resting in what Jesus already did.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's funny is that our whole relationship with Christ is supposed to be simplistic. It's supposed to be simple. It's not, I mean, like, we can get caught up, and this is awesome. This is an awesome liberating revelation for me to hear about faith, because I, too, have been struggling with the, you know, having faith in this, and, well, not in this, but about, you know, my prayers being answered and things like that, and so on and so forth. So this is awesome stuff, and it just adds to me learning about how simple our relationship with Christ is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just we tend to complicate it, you know, or we listen to the lies in our head and that don't line up with the Word. So the more we can get the Word in us and just stand on those promises and say, Lord, this is what your Word says, or Lord, I don't have enough faith, but Lord, I can't do this on my own, but you can do it through me. When we get our eyes on Him, I mean, and when you talk that it's all about the journey, that's really what it's about. The journey is the walk, and it's the narrow, straight path, and it's just keeping our eyes on Him and not getting distracted side to side, left to right, or not looking back at our past, to who we were, and just believing what we're reading and standing in faith. If the Word says it, believe it, and keep our eyes on the Lord and just keep moving forward. And that's really the journey.
Well, and what is wonderful is the measure of faith that God gives us to get into His kingdom is enough to move mountains. And we all have that. And all we need is just a teeny bit, the size of a mustard seed. And, you know, that helped me too, because you never think you have enough faith. We have enough faith to move mountains the day we are born again by that measure of faith. So anyway, I'm just thrilled about that. But, of course, I'm building on it. But we have enough of faith to do whatever we need to do the second we accept Christ in our heart.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, but the thing is we just we've got that faith, but we don't believe we have that faith or
right.
Something.
Problem.
So part of that journey is the little steps of faith, and we see God show up. We pray for a headache; He takes care of it. Oh, He can do that. That increases our faith, and all the time, I mean, He can take care of these things. So I've seen where, you know, you'll muster up faith for a little thing, and you see God do it, and then He'll take you to the next level, and you see God do it. And, you know, until I heard people praying for cars or praying for dishwashers or whatever it was, I never thought that God could do something like that. But when I heard testimonies of God, you know, healing, you know, whatever it was, that's why I prayed for my hot water tank. Cause I, you know, if you know that God can even heal a hot water tank, He healed a hot water tank. So you just, and that's the other thing is it's being in one accord or being in a situation like this where we can share testimonies of what God is doing. And, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah. We're finding who we are in Christ, hidden in Christ Jesus. Psalms 91.
Amen.
I like Romans 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Man, we walk after the Spirit. We're after the Spirit to be in the Spirit and to have the Spirit dwelling in us through the Spirit. We kill the deeds of the body, and to be led by the Spirit is to be spiritually minded. That's all the blessings which come, you know, when we bind ourselves to the Holy Spirit and Jesus. When we live after the Spirit, we got that very nature of Jesus in us. If we live in the Spirit, we're going to be led by Him every day and every moment. Every step we take, He's going to tell us which way to go.
And when we understand
when we open up our hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when we get led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we all need the Holy Spirit, and keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, keeping our eyes in the Word, like Kim was talking about, and putting that Word in us. And don't allow man to tell you what the Word says. Go in there and check it out yourself, like Tim was talking about. If you don't check it out yourself, how are you going to know? You can't sit up there and listen to a man without going to the Word and checking it out, because the Word tells you to do that. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. And if that man is full of the Spirit, he's giving you truth from the Spirit, if he's being led by the Spirit. There's a lot of these preachers out there that are not led by the Spirit. They're led by the carnal mind. And when you're being led by the carnal mind, you're going to lead astray a bunch of folks. And woe to those shepherds that lead his people astray. And so that's why it's imperative that we allow the Holy Spirit to open up the Word to us and to tell us what the Word says and show us what the Word says, like Kim was talking about. Praise God for that, Kim. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lord.
I read this book by a man named Arthur Burt, and I heard recently that he passed away at 102 years old. He had been a Christian since he was 9 or 10 years old. And he wrote this book called Surrender, Your Key to Spiritual Success, and in it he addresses the issue of pride, and that when you walk in pride, you're not walking in truth, you have a deceptive spirit around you telling you things that you want to hear. And he said, he referred to the part in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Spirit will tell us what is true. We don't need anyone to teach us what is true. And so I read the book 3 times, and finally the 3rd time a light bulb went off, and I said, Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth. And that from that moment on, it was like scales fell off my eyes. And I started seeing Scripture differently. I started seeing myself differently and people around me differently. And it was like a whole new world had opened up to me that probably should have years ago.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a year ago or so. I asked the Lord to just, when I'm reading the Word, to open my eyes in the Spirit, allow me to see the Word in the Spirit. And he started doing that, and I just started seeing depth in the Word like I'd never seen before. I started seeing types and shadows that I'd never seen before. He started giving me revelation, and he would, you know, I would be in the Word, and he would give me a word picture and compare it to something, and I would see it so clearly in just a totally different realm. And it was like the Word came alive. Mm-hmm. And we just, all we have to do is ask. We don't have because we don't ask. Mm-hmm. So the Lord just wants us to ask. And if, you know, I used to sit down and just ask the Lord just to give me a hunger for your Word, open up my eyes. And I would get into the Word, and it would draw me in, and I would just start seeing, you know, different things. But when I asked him to open my spiritual eyes, the Word, you know, I'd read a lot of the Word, And all of a sudden, I was just seeing it, you know, layer after layer, just all kinds of depth and just types and shadows. And it was like, it was exciting. So there's so much knowledge there. It's just a matter of us being obedient. And you know, where the enemy comes is in distractions, with all the distractions in the world, that, you know, the television, your iPhone, your, you know, just all the different things that you know, come up to keep you busy and distracted, are all just attempts to keep you out of the Word, because He does not want you growing in the Word. So, I've shared this, that I've asked the Lord, just, you know, if you just, you know, when you want to talk to me or share me something, just, you know, just get me up. And there's times He gets me up, you know, 4 or 5, you know, in the morning, and I just get up, get in the Word, and He just, you know, and I might start. The other thing I've been doing, I've shared, is I just read one line at a time and ask the Lord to explain it to me. And there's times I'll start and I'll only read, you know, just a couple paragraphs, and He'll have me all through the Word. I mean, He'll just get me in all different directions, showing me stuff. And I might be in the Word for 3 or 4 hours, and I've only, you know, really got through a couple paragraphs of where I started. And it's awesome. It's just, you know, I've got eSword, and, you know, I look up different meanings of words, and He'll show me, you know, just, you know, different aspects of what I'm reading, and he just brings it alive. It's kind of neat. The hard part is revealing it after He's shown me, you know. I get in, you know, I'll be in the Word for 3 or 4 hours, and I'll be all excited, and you know, it's just, it's hard to go back and recreate everywhere He's taken you, you know. So it's kind of neat. So,
well, this is, I'm looking forward to learning from everybody. I myself have a hard time connecting with people. And I've been rejected a lot by the church, and I've gotten a lot of slack for speaking out against things that are false. When God has led me to, so this will be awesome, because it sounds like everybody's on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I mean, you might there is a free book on the website. It's called Sovereign God. Mm-hmm. That's a real good basis, and I think it would really, you know, challenge you in some areas. You know, there's some neat, you know, there's some neat information. It talks about Bible numerics and a few things in there that I think that you might find interesting. But you may want to just take a look at that, because I think it might challenge you to, you know, just kind of to, you know, get in the Word a little bit deeper, and just, you know, I think it might open up some you know truths to you know, for you. You might not agree with everything in there. I mean, we're not here to agree with everything, but I mean, if it just challenges you or something like that, then just take it to the Lord and just ask Him to, you know, to show you truth. But it's just, I think it just was a book that really blessed me when I first read it, and, you know, just, challenged me in a lot of different, you know, different aspects of, and it challenged me to get into the Word, to really seek out and be a Berean and be led of the Lord, you know, as far as in the Word.
Yeah. That's what the Lord's doing with me now, is getting me back into the Word. And it's like things are, now that He's been showing me my identity and reminding me who I am in Him, which is forgiven, redeemed, dead to sin, you know, the whole thing. And as I'm reading it now, some things are clicking. And then, of course, He's been nudging me to get up at 5 in the morning, too, and I struggle to do that. So... well, I'm not a morning person. You know, I mean, I have to get up at 6:20 to get my kids ready for school. And I've gone from it taking me an hour to wake up to 15-20 minutes. So,
well, he's working on you. First thing you got to do is quit confessing you're not a morning person. So so we're going to pray against that right now. So, Father, you're working in Kim right now, and we just break that curse that she's spoken over her life about not being a morning person, and we just break that curse right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for just waking her up and giving her excitement to get into your word. We ask you just open up her spiritual eyes. You give her hunger for your truth, Lord. Father, you just give her revelation knowledge as she's reading it and speak to her through the word, Lord. We just thank you for just giving her excitement for your word, Lord. And we just thank you for just blessing her and allow us to be a blessing to her. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, Tim.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to tell Kim a little bit about my experience with Sovereign God.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Kim, that book is on site, and you can download it at PDF form, I think, or Kindle form, a couple of other ways to do it. But if you want it, you can contact us here, and we'll send you a book, too.
Okay.
But here's what it did for me. The book itself is mostly scripture. And David, the Lord through David, has assembled those scriptures in a way that I knew those scriptures were there. I just couldn't put them all together, you know, and organize them into different aspects of the Christian walk. And, mm-hmm. and David does it in a way that even an old boy from Arkansas can understand it. I mean, when I read that book, everything just started clicking for me in the Word, and I could see those things that God was sovereign. I didn't know what sovereign meant at the time, you know. I knew God was that's the man, you know. But I always thought that the God and the devil, through the teachings that I'd been through from other people, that they were sitting up there butting heads. I said, well, how can they be butting heads? And I tell myself this, how can they be butting heads when God made him? I'm thinking to myself, I ain't going to make something that's going to butt heads with me. I'm going to make something that I can put my thumb on him anytime I want to, you know. But that's not the way the apostate churches work. But David put it in such a succinct way and such an easy reading way that it just all clicked for me. Now, just like Tim was talking about, once I read that book, I could read the Bible, and those things started, opening up to me. And just like he's talking about, you could read one verse, and that'd be layer upon layer upon layer of meaning in that verse, depending on what you were looking at, you know. And it's just, I believe it will help you in your quest toward Jesus. And there's a lot of other books on site, too. But I think if you'll read that Sovereign God, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm definitely going to check it out. You know, I've read a lot of books. And I'm trying to get out of the habit of reading books and getting back into the Bible. But I'll definitely check this book out. Right now in my walk with the Lord, he's asking me to surrender to his love, and I'm struggling with that because he's, you know, reconnecting me with my identity. And I actually had a dream about it last June or July, somewhere around there, when my husband was at Kairos. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Kairos ministry, but my husband's involved in that. And so, like, when he goes away to Kairos and things like that, because he has such an amazing experience with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I want to have an experience with you at home, too, you know, because I don't want to miss out. So he gave me a dream at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep after this dream. But it wasn't just in reference to me, but it was for the whole body of Christ. And it was about because I went from shoulder to shoulder to him, and then we were chest to chest. And so, like, he's showing me in this dream that the body of Christ, the true body, is he's leading many of us to surrender to him, which means that's the shoulder part where we surrender and submit to him and to his love. And then there's, you know, and then his love is going to be the primary focus in the body of Christ. And it's no longer going to be about us talking about his love and just seeking after his love and wanting to know his love. We're actually going to know the love of Christ. And that was one of the things I was going to ask for prayer before we all hung up, is for help with that struggle. So I'm willing to hear any kind of help that I can get right now. I don't want this to be just about me, because I want to hear what everybody has to say, by the way.
Well, why don't what exactly is the struggle as far as with the love?
Well, see, I know that God loves me, and I've known my whole walk with him that he loves me, and there's been moments where he's told me that I've equated his love with man's love, and I've been hurt a lot, and I've done that unintentionally, because, you know, I've been trying to protect myself in that way. And I'm learning recently that submitting and surrendering to God's love is what keeps you, is what protects your heart and what keeps you from getting hurt. And so where my struggle is being vulnerable to God, because to me, being vulnerable at any time in my life has been
a bad experience.
Exactly.
So you've got a wall, you've built a wall because you've been hurt in the past by man when it comes to love. Okay.
Yes. And of course I've had wrong ideas about God, and God is showing me who he really is and how he really sees me, and he's building trust with me. And so, like, my struggle is just letting go and surrendering, because that makes me vulnerable to God.
Right. Well, I'll kind of share what I felt the Lord has showed me, but I don't really know. I mean, I know you can have love for your children and that, but most of what the world has is not love. It's not God's love. Unless you've got Christ in your life, most of the world just has got lust, and they think it's love, but it's conditional.
That's true.
And you meet my needs, I'll meet your needs, and it's just, that's just lust. There's no love behind that. And what he wants us to walk in is agape love. And that's why, you know, it's turn the other cheek and love your enemy. And, you know, it's just, he wants you to love no matter what. And when you've been hurt by man, you know, you don't understand that love. And because your idea of love has been skewed by man, because man is just mainly lust. And, you know, you just, and then, you know, and being a woman, you get pulled in emotionally, you know, you've got more emotions tied to that, which is flesh too, but, you know, it's just that hurt, you know. So you might want to search your heart as far as for any unforgiveness towards anybody who's hurt you, you know, when it comes to the love aspect, because that's an area that really binds up a lot of people. And so you might want to just ask the Lord, is there anybody that I need to forgive that has hurt me? And because we need to forgive no matter what, you know, people have done to us, and turn them over to the Lord, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you, you know, and you can just go to the Lord. I mean, when I did it, I mean, it was like a slideshow as far as who I needed to forgive. And, you know, but it was, and he's still working in me in some areas. I mean, it's just an area that, you know, I've had somebody, you know, recently where, you know, I felt I was like pouring out to them and blessing them and turn around and do something. And I fell into unforgiveness, and it put me into, you know, we're turned over to the tormentors is what the word says. And I was turned over to the tormentors. So he just, you know, he's serious about that. You know, there's really two unpardonable sins, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit and unforgiveness. Because he said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And so it's a serious thing with the Lord. But yeah, let's just definitely pray. So Father, right now, come to you, Lord, and we lift up Kim to you. And Lord, we just ask that you will work in her. If she's got any unforgiveness, any hurt that she is justifying, that is just unforgiveness, or any frustration or anything there that is masking itself as unforgiveness, we just ask that you just expose it and heal her heart. If her heart is hardened in any area, we ask that you just soften that heart, give her a heart of flesh, and just guide her, Lord. You speak to her in her dreams. We ask you to give her a dream. And Lord, your word says love comes from you. And we just ask that you just fill Kim fully your love. Teach her about agape love. Just fill her fresh with your love, Lord. And so we just put our faith together for her, Lord. And we just ask that you just work in her. And when it comes to love and trust, and she's built some walls, Lord, and she needs you to bring those walls down. And you know, to you know, submit to you, and to, you know, just to turn everything over to you, and just to give it to you. And we just thank you for that, Lord, for tearing down those walls and working in her life, Lord, and just setting her free from this bondage. And we just bind up the principalities and powers that are speaking to her head. Any lies that she's believing, we just call them to be exposed, roots to be exposed, so they can be pulled out. And we just thank you for her freedom, Lord. Your word says that the truth will set you free. We just ask you, Lord, to show her the truth. You open that up in your word. You open up the truth, and the truth is going to set her free. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for the, you know, the book suggestion and things like that. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, another, I mean, if you think you're dealing with unforgiveness, there's another awesome book, and it's The Curse of Unforgiveness. And we've been using that as in a local Bible study here. And it's just, even some seasoned people in the Lord, it's bringing out some, it's exposing a lot of different lies. And, you know, people found out, you know, as far as, I mean, we had a trial in our family where it was hurt was being justified. Well, I'm just hurt. Well, hurt is basically unforgiveness. You're upset with somebody. And so there's a lot of things that mask themselves as unforgiveness. So that might be, I mean, if you think that might be an area after Sovereign God, you might want to look into that. And we're always open. I mean, just, you know, if you just, you know, come in for prayer or whatever, but, you know, the Lord's the one who's going to set you free. Amen.
Yeah. So you guys are always having these fellowships. It's not just at a particular time.
No, we do this just Tuesdays and Thursdays between 8 and 10.
Oh, okay.
And there is a, on Sundays and Wednesdays, there is a two-hour, more of a teaching type thing that David does and Michael Hare, puts out. So, that is something else that's available as far as that, and you can download those are under 1 hour, or what are they under? Bible studies, Unleavened Bread Bible studies.
Yeah. You're talking about books.
No. As far as the Bible studies on Wednesdays and Sunday, or yeah, it's Wednesday and Sunday.
Sunday
nights.
And Wednesday. Yeah, that's yeah. the Bible
and see,
studies.
In there, a lot of dreams come out because we just know the Lord speaks to us through dreams. So a lot of people send in dreams, and David just tries to put them together because there's days he'll get three dreams that have the same type of meaning behind them. If the Lord is trying to show us something, he's given us warnings. He's done a lot of things through just dreams, you know, visions, revelations, stuff like that. So that's, you know, the Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, are a lot of that, you know, where he brings forth, you know, just words that the Lord has given people or dreams or he'll do a teaching or whatever. You can just download those. Most of us just have iPods and, you can, just download them.
I have the radio app.
That runs like 24/7, and they'll put that in there, you know, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like right after the Wednesday night, I think, you know, after that's broadcast, then they'll throw it on the radio. Type thing, or if you just want to listen to the teaching,
she can get on the e-list and they'll send it to her.
Okay.
On the update thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm asking because I have dreams and visions too. The Lord gives me visions in times of worship, and he gives me short visions.
Well, what you might do is as you're listening to, because the Lord gives, you know, different people, there's even some people in the room that get some interpretation of dreams and that. Mm-hmm. But as you hear David interpretate dreams, you're going to learn more. I mean, you'll get revelations in your dreams when you find out what certain things mean in dreams and stuff like that. As I've listened to him interpretate other dreams, I've been able to interpretate my own dreams better as far as that. So I think that might be another avenue.
What time on Sunday and Wednesday?
That's usually, what, around 8 o'clock too?
Yeah, Michael? they generally post it around 8 o'clock or so. And it'll be on the website up in the top left-hand corner. It'll say updates. And you can click on that, and it'll have the first Bible study. That's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Sunday nights.
That's Eastern Standard Time, right?
Eastern Standard Time, that's right, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my son has dreams, too.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, awesome. He within this last year, I mean, like, he's had three or four of them that have been, like, wow, and when he has them, he comes straight to me, and he tells them to me, and he just turned 8.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. So like,
kids generally have real pinpointed dreams.
I know. I've been having them since I was a kid, too, the way that he has them, and I had them. It hasn't been like this since my accident. It's like now that when I have them, there's just certain bits and pieces in the dream that the Lord wants me to see. But, like, before my accident, in 2009, I was hit by a truck walking down the road by my house, and I had a concussion and all that kind of stuff. But I used to dream so vividly that I could tell you every single detail in the dream and, like, vivid color and everything. And that's how he dreamed.
Well, to get hit by a truck had to hurt.
Right. Well, can I tell you, I don't, blessed be God, because I don't, when I got hit, I went blank, so the Lord was protecting me. My husband said when I went into hospital, I had, when they were doing tests, I kept blanking out. I heard the 911 call, and I kept waking up saying, what's going on? And then I'd pass back out, and when I finally came to in the hospital, I was going, what in the world is going on, you know, and people were explaining to me what happened. But I had a concussion, I had two broken ribs, a broken shoulder blade, and a contusion on my left thigh. And my husband told me, too, I think it was last year, that I also had a punctured lung that was healed before I left the hospital. and they couldn't explain how my lung got healed. And then they sent me home with four different kinds of pain medication. And I took it for 2 days, and I said, I can't take it no more because it makes me feel like I'm out of it. And the Lord sustained my pain in my shoulder until it healed.
Amen.
So I healed, right, so I healed very, you know, very quickly because of the Lord. Apparently, you know, of course, the accident wasn't of God. So, but since then, I don't dream the same way I used to. It's maybe I used to have several dreams in one night, and I've gone from having several in one night to maybe one or two in the morning, and I might not have one for a couple of days, or, you know, and then it's everything is fuzzy except for certain things that stand out in the dreams now.
Well, you know, we can ask the Lord to clarify your dreams and to make them more vivid and more ever what you want to do. You know, Jesus said to ask and you shall receive.
Well, I actually have asked the Lord.
Okay.
And it hasn't happened yet. So maybe I'm thinking that maybe there's only certain things that God wants me to know in my dreams.
Okay.
Amen.
You know, maybe that's why I'm only seeing certain, remembering certain things, because the Lord's saying, I want you to focus on this part and this part and this part and not every single detail in the dream.
Amen. I did want to ask you one more question.
Yes,
that
sir.
Dog I hear in the background, is that a Rottweiler or a pit bull?
There's no dog at my house.
Oh, I keep hearing a dog somewhere.
I'm not hearing a dog. I think we got to pray for Michael. No.
No, wait a minute. I wouldn't laugh that off. I would ask the Lord what that is, because one day, see, the Lord has been opening my spiritual ears too. I know that we're supposed to have our five senses trained to discern both good and evil, and the Lord has been doing stuff with my senses these last few months. My husband was raking leaves, and I heard a sound of a train out of him raking leaves. And I'm like, what? Am I going nuts? And so I sat down, and I put in some music, and I sat down to get into a worship mode and get quiet and silent while I listened to the music. I actually had a vision of a train on a game board. And since then, the Lord has been showing me what that train means in my life. And so, like, if you're hearing things that other people aren't hearing, you might want to go to God about that, because he might be trying to tell you something.
Doggy in the window.
Better get on your knees there, Michael.
I don't know how to take that or not. I think that's that little dog of ever that I'm here.
Amen.
So, okay. Now, as far as you said something, I'm going to try downloading the books on my phone. If I can't get them downloaded, you said something about possibly sending me a book. Now, if I needed the information to do that, how do I do that? Because the website doesn't exactly list a lot of contact information.
You still got my email?
I believe so.
Okay, email me your address, and I'll see that you get them.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Now, when you guys were talking about dreams, I remember last week, Gabe told me that him and somebody else, might have been Bill, were trying to find where this certain scripture was. They knew this scripture. They're trying to find where it was in the Word, and they couldn't find it. And he said that night the Lord gave him a dream, and in the dream he told him where the scripture was in the Word, and he got up the next morning, it was right there. And he said, I never had that happen before, where the Lord spoke to me and actually gave me exactly what I was looking for, and gave me, you know, just chapter and verse.
Awesome.
Amen.
So I thought that was cool.
That's very cool.
Amen.
Well, I ask the Lord a lot, you know, before I go to sleep at night, if he'll give me dreams that you know, are of him or truth or whatnot. And sometimes I dream and sometimes I don't now.
Amen.
If I do, I write them down, and they're usually very short.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to pray that God give, if that's what you want more dreams, we're going to pray that, and now it's up to you to start believing that. That's going to happen. It, you know, he may try your faith for a little while, but you just have to say, oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. Glory to God, we prayed for it. I'm going to get them dreams.
As long as they're all of him, I don't want no more from the enemy. I think I've had enough from the enemy.
Amen. You want to pray, Tim?
Go ahead. Why don't you pray?
Okay. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you heard Kim's request. Lord, we know that you said that anything we ask in your name, that you'll give it. And Father, in the name of Jesus, she wants more dreams and more dreams from you, no dreams from the enemy. And Father, we thank you that they're going to be vivid dreams. They're going to be dreams for the times we're in. And Lord, they're going to be warning dreams and they're going to be revealing dreams. And Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're going to stand in faith to believe it. All of us are. We're hooking our faith together, and we're believing that Kim's going to be having good dreams and going to be able to relate those to us. Every portion of the dream that you want her to know, Lord, we ask for clarity of recall in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I agree.
So when I start having them, I can call in on nights like tonight when you're having fellowship and talk to you about them as well?
Well, you can, yeah, I mean, if you get a dream that you don't have an interpretation on or something like that, you can, if you want to, you share it and see if anybody gets an interpretation, that's a possibility. Usually, a lot of times we'll just have you write it up and send it in. But, but if you ask the Lord to give you an interpretation, he'll give you an interpretation. But, if you get something and you're looking for a different interpretation, you can always bring it forth as far as that. So,
okay.
Actually, while we were talking, I just thought of another, testimony. I don't quite understand what's going on, but, my mom was, she's got cancer and she was diagnosed back in October, November, and they gave her basically about a month to live. And so I went up there to see her and, I did pray over her and that. So I got a text from my sister today and she said that, the nurse came in. My sister's kind of hospice for her, but my mom had gotten to a point where she couldn't even get up and walk or anything like that. And the nurse came in today, and she's gained like 15 plus pounds. And she and the nurse has never seen anything like this, where she's actually gaining and she's up walking. And she's asking my sister what's going on, because she's never seen somebody gain weight, when they're in this state or whatever it is. Usually they're losing weight, and my mom's back up walking, and my sister really isn't saved, but we've been praying for her. And, my sister said, well, God's doing something with her. So my sister did give the glory to God. And, God's apparently got a plan. I don't know what's going on there, but it's awesome. So, so I thought I'd kind of share that testimony. All right. We're kind of winding down here. Does anybody else?
Hey, Tim, this is Malcolm here. I was just wondering if Aaron's still online.
He might have dropped out. Aaron, are you still on?
He had something he wanted to share.
Yeah, I'm still on.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Well,
you got
hello.
Something you'd like to share?
Oh, I had some words, but it sounded like the Lord shifted everything. tonight, and this has been really, it's just been a big blessing. I didn't want to, you know, go past the time and all that, so I could always share them next time or something, or send them in to you guys.
Well, I mean, if you want to share, I mean, how long is it going to be? I mean,
let's see here. I got a couple of them.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and share? Go ahead and share.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's going to be upset if we go a couple minutes over.
Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Well, thank you, Lord. I guess, you did want him to go out tonight. All right. Well, the Lord's been just speaking really just, oh, it's just been awesome. You know, just being in those places of communion with him and just sitting before him and just the Lord just been speaking things. So here's a few of them. The Lord said, behold, I have found you watching. And this is when I was just sitting and praying with him. He says, now watch. And this really, all, by the way, these words just go for the whole body too. You know, that's something the Lord impressed upon me. Now watch and behold how I remove the way that's wrong from before your steps. I shall hold you together during times of great trial and distress. I shall keep you in the fortress of the shadow of my wings. When lies and ambush tactics of your enemies rise up against you, when vessels of dishonor being rolled through dishonorable hosts speak lies of wickedness and false accusation in order to turn others against you for their advantage, when such words of destruction spread around you as a wildfire, because another speaks against you and many take ear to their infectious words, know that I watch as a consuming fire, in the midst of many arrows, arrows as a storm as winds, of hatred and falsehood that seek strike upon every side of you, as a pit of vicious snakes that seek to strike from all sides, in the midst of such, your love and kindness in my Son shall be your shield. Your love and care for your enemies shall be as a wall of fire around you. What can stop? What can penetrate the force of my love? Who and what can bring down a communing soul of my spirit? And so that's the first one. Praise the Lord. And then he spoke to me last night, and it was really, really encouraging and comforting. He said, I'm clearing you from all transgression as you wait upon me. And then the Lord had me put this down. He says, I'm hearing in my spirit a deeper meaning underneath the Lord's words here. As the Lord's voice is as many waters, he is also saying that this also means that he is bringing us into sonship as we wait upon him. And then the Lord gave him another word here. This would be the closing one. The earth is filled with corruption. And I felt like the Lord was really pointing out the times that we're in right now. And just really one of those messages the Lord's been encouraging me about victory and him during the times that we're in. The Lord was speaking, the earth is filled with corruption. The violent hands cease from being. Through faithful speech, the hearts of the innocent are delivered. For violent hands cease to be. The love of many wax cold from the storm of wickedness, but through faithful speech my beloved prosper in peace and reign in mercy over the enslaved. The Lord expounded on the enslaved, and he said, the Gentile with violent hands. So basically, you know, anybody in the world or has that spirit on them of the world in and out of the church. Hear these words of mine, all nations. Hear the blast of my righteous words. The meek shall inherit the earth, but the man with violent hands shall be brought low. The mighty man shall stumble before me and fall because of his own devices, and be made to crawl upon the ground to eat the dust of the earth all of his days. And if you eat the dust of the earth all of your days, O mighty man, shall you live forever? Shall your feet be made as hinds' feet before me to prosper in righteousness? Shall you be adorned in righteous raiment? Shall you ever come to know true pleasure? Shall you ever come to know truth and duty of obedience to my words and love and eternal reign? And I felt like when the Lord was giving me that, that last part, you know, the Lord really expounds on the fact that, you know, to look at that as, you know, definitely in like the Lord's been telling me, you know, to not receive condemnation, you know, even, you know, hearing things like that, like it's not directed at me or anything like that. When he's talking about the mighty man, you know, it's really just the flesh, you know, that the Lord's delivering us from. And, you know, the Lord's been telling me, you know, just to believe, you know, really just believe him, believe that it's all through faith and unmerited favor and grace that we are, that we're his, and that we don't have to be numbered with the transgressors, you know, because Jesus already was for us. He died on the cross for us and took all of that. So we can really, it's like the Lord, when the Lord gives words kind of like that, you know, the Lord's just, he also gives me comfort and says, you know, just believe on me and trust me. And you know, this isn't talking about you. This is, you know, he's just giving a word. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to share. That's it.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
This is Michael. Hey, could you send me those? Would you mind sending those to me?
Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, Brother Chad told me, that you guys wanted the other one, and I hadn't got around to it yet, but I typed these ones up, and the other one, I can type that up and send all of them to you.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's very applicable to some of the words that we've been getting too, Aaron. That's the reason I want to put it with those collections. And I know David would like to see it as well.
Yeah, I could send it out to you guys. And there's more, you know, there's actually a really just awesome word that the Lord gave Chad. And I wanted to read that, but I was actually thinking about typing it out for him, but okay. I have it in, you know, on a text message, and it's kind of jumbled and stuff, so I need to go through that. But, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. That's awesome.
I wonder where Tim went. Tim, are you there?
I was talking to Aaron and didn't know I was muted.
He's looking for that doggy in the window.
Yeah. So, Aaron, are you going to be able to join us more as far as with your work schedule?
Yeah, I think so. It seems to be becoming consistent the last couple of weeks here. So, I mean, with my job, it kind of jumps around sometimes, but it seems like it's kind of been, like, you know, the last week. Things kind of changed. But,
I mean, because those words are just, I mean, it's just showing the times we're in, you know, it's bringing warning and encouragement and preparedness and, you know, it's just, I mean, those are some awesome words.
The Lord has been giving me Isaiah 61:2.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then he goes in to talk about how deep darkness covers the earth and the peoples, but the glory of the Lord will shine upon you.
Wow, the Lord, that's really interesting. The Lord, like, spoke that specific scripture, like, sometime while everybody, you know, while you guys were all talking and all that. So that's, wow, that's confirming right there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is awesome.
All right, before we close out, does anybody need prayer? Is there any last thing before we close out for this night?
Well, if you don't mind me suggesting, so we have a whole full of people of our brothers and sisters right now that are just being persecuted, and of course, as you know, it's probably been going on for some time. I know it's been going on in Romania, North Korea, and places like that, but it's seriously escalating. And if you don't mind, I think maybe we should put our brothers and sisters who God has appointed to be persecuted and to die, that we should be praying for our brothers and sisters to be strengthened and comforted and things like that. I believe that they need it.
Amen. So, Father, right now, we just lift up just your brethren out there, Lord, our brothers and sisters out there in Christ that are going through persecution, that are being martyred for you. And Father, we just pray for them, Lord. We just pray your guidance, Lord, Father God, as far as to keep them out of harm's way, we just pray your angels over them, Lord. Father God, we just pray, just guidance, that you will guide them. And, we just ask you things are getting ugly out there. We're seeing the times. We're seeing, the enemy getting stirred up and persecution coming. And we know that persecution is going to be coming here. And we just pray, Lord, for your people, Lord, that are suffering this persecution. We pray for their families, Lord, to comfort them. And Lord, our hearts go out to them. So Lord, we just ask for your mercy on them, Lord. In these days, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for these people that you have already chosen, Lord, all across this world. Father, we ask and we pray that you give them strength and in that enduring faith, Father, that they're going to need in the times ahead. We thank you, Father, that you are bringing them into that place of where they are just depending completely upon you, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that those that are being martyred, Lord, are spreading the gospel even further through those countries because the people see the light in them. And Father, we thank you for that. We know that in the past, when persecutions have come upon the church, that there has been great revivals, Lord. And we thank you that that's exactly what you're leading up to. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for just blessing everybody this week, Lord. Just give them a hunger for your word, a hunger for your truth. Open their spiritual eyes. Just guide them this week, Lord. Just allow them to get excited for the revelation knowledge you're showing them. And Lord, just expose the stumbling blocks, expose the distractions, expose the areas where their flesh is overruling their spirit man, where the outer man is in control. Lord, we just want to walk in the spirit. We want to be led in you in all areas of our lives. And just, so we ask you, Lord, to just guide us, just allow us to see in the spirit and to be led of you and not to be led by what we see with our natural eyes, but to walk in faith. And just refresh our spirit, Lord, just refresh our minds, and continue to guide us, Lord, in your truth. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for bearing our crosses, Lord, and nailing the old man on that cross so the Christ in us can be resurrected. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Bless everybody this week. Just bless their families and guide them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.